Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but you're hopeful.
There's a level of hope. Kiwon Lacy, I mean, he's the type of back where it feels like he can at times carry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just in the playoff in general, I think Ole Miss probably has the deepest receiver room. Like,
underrated, too.
Pretty underrated. Like, Harrison Wallace has been really good. Also, yeah, Penn State, you didn't really have any good receivers last year, did you?
Shade, silly though.
I mean, it was always silly. That was always silly. But between him and Stribling, and is Daquan Wright an NFL tight end?
Yes.
Like,
yes,
he is, right?
Yes, move tight end. Put him anywhere on the field.
That dude's for as big as he is, he can roll.
Yeah,
he can move
for sure. All right, now it is. It's break time. We have to go ahead and get to a break, and we'll talk more of this with David Cobb from CBS Sports on the other side. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and joining me now, as he does every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that would be David Cobb, at David W. Cobb on X. He is a college football and college basketball writer for CBS Sports, and a role player here at 92.9, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like I mentioned with me, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve.
Hey, Merry Christmas Eve to you, Gabe. And for some folks, Christmas Eve is as big as Christmas. Like my wife's family, like Christmas Eve is pretty much Christmas. So we kind of get 2 days in a row of it being Christmas because all the things with her side are done today, and then of course Christmas is Christmas, and now that we have a kid, you know, that's its own thing in and of its own right. So you know, it's exciting times.
You have been traveling all day. Is that how that's worked so far?
Not all day, but for enough of the day where I've been concerningly checked out from the sports world. So if there's like some major breaking developments in the last couple of hours this afternoon, I may not be aware of them.
You're all safe. You're all safe. All right. Now, I have to ask you this off top. With the transfer portal the way it is, and I understand the University of Memphis replaced 78 new players or brought in 78 new players on Ryan's last roster, and they replaced just about every starter on defense, I think 10 of 11, and then a bunch on offense. So there is that. But Charles Huff, who took over at the University of Memphis, is going to be without 21 starters. And there's one guy, the right guard, Parker Mitchell, who's not in the transfer portal, but he very well could get into the transfer portal. So they may replace every single person in their two deep and their starters. And their kicker, Gianni Spedek, even got into the portal. So 22 at the moment. Like, how – when I played, that was like a death sentence. You're done. okay? Like, one, it didn't really happen that big. You didn't have that type of exodus. But in today's day and age, like, how should people feel about that? Like, how much different is it when you lose 21, 22 starters, you know, offense, defense, special teams?
Well, it was going to be an entirely new system either way, because when you bring in a new coach, he brings in new schemes, new philosophies, new staffers, and so everything would have been new anyway. So that's part of it. And then I would also say this, just because players get into the portal doesn't mean they ultimately end up transferring. Like, you could certainly see a situation where Charles Huff and his staff are able to kind of go through what's leaving and convince a few of those guys to stay. Now, I wouldn't put much stock in that being a significant factor, but it's just something to remember. Just because you get in the portal doesn't mean that you're going to play for another school. You can get in the portal and come back to where you came from. So that's on the table as well. But by and large, I don't view it as anything to be overly concerned about. It's just the lay of the land. It's the way things go in this era. When you have a coaching change, no matter I think what it really is, when you have a coaching change at the G5 level, it just enhances what's already going to happen. I mean, look, think about it. If Ryan had stayed, how many starters are coming back? I mean, that's just the sad, harsh truth. Like, maybe six or seven, but a lot of the guys who have eligibility left who have started on one of the better G5 teams out there are probably going to try to leave. So, you know, it's unfortunate that you've got a basketball team and a football team that are basically going to turn over their entire roster at the same time this year, you know. But, you know, that's just kind of par for the course. So, I mean, I don't blame anybody for not liking it. But I don't think it means Charles Huff can't build a good team in year one. He showed that he could build a good team in year one last year when he went from Marshall to Southern Miss. So it doesn't by any stretch mean that Charles Huff won't be able to have a successful first season, because if you believe that, you just need to go and see the immediate flip that he did at Southern Miss. And yeah. So the difference at Memphis, though, I get it. It's like, this team wasn't horrible. Like, they didn't meet their expectations, sure, but like, Southern Miss was horrible. So you wanted to flip it all. Like, maybe at Memphis, you wanted to keep Sutton Smith and some of these other high caliber players around. And you're not going to be able to do that. But I don't think it means Charles Huff can't go out there and get good talent.
Oh, random question. You think Sutton Smith ends up at Arkansas? Because I see a lot of Hog fans getting excited for that idea. And I get it. He was with Ryan for 3 years. Why not a fourth? But I looked at the middle of the season and looked at his usage. And some Hog fans are trying to say, well, you know, maybe he was just trying to save him, make sure he didn't get injured. And I was like, I don't know about that. That seems kind of ridiculous.
That seems like a stretch.
But, I mean, he could very well end up at Arkansas, but I don't know. It's kind of interesting when you look at it.
Yeah, I would say a player of that caliber is good enough to get looks from all over the country. So I wouldn't necessarily think that's a sure bet or a done deal by any stretch. I mean, I think there's any number of schools that would be pleased to have Sutton Smith on their team. And I wouldn't necessarily read into that. Now, like, I think you always put the player's former coach at the top of the list. I think you know, if you're handicapping,
of course,
then sure, you put Arkansas at the top of the list. Just like when all these Southern Miss players, I haven't looked, but I'm sure there's been 35 Southern Miss players announced entering the portal since their bowl game ended, right? I bet the betting favorite for a lot of them would be Memphis if you were handicapping it. Why? Because Charles Huff and a lot of the other coaches who they just played for are now at Memphis. And so they'll be able to kind of selectively go after some of the better players they coached at Southern Miss. And that's not a bad thing. If you're getting some of the better players from a decent Sun Belt team, like, that's not a bad thing. Now, you don't want everybody. I'm sorry, there were some players there who you don't want.
Right.
And then there might be a couple who might have better options. You put the player's previous coach at the top of the list, but that doesn't exclude others. And so I'll be curious to see, like, in particular, how it plays out, like, for Colton Joseph, the quarterback who is from Old Dominion, was really productive at Old Dominion. His OC is going to be the OC at Memphis. Like, so what sort of, like, because I don't know if you saw it today, but today or yesterday, USA Today had a quarterback predictor out. They were predicting where the top transfer quarterbacks would end up. And I thought it was interesting that Colton Joseph ended up in their prediction going to Florida State. But it was like a very tentative sort of thing there. So yeah. Does Memphis have a shot at that guy? I don't know. I put Memphis at the top of the odds sheet because of the quarterback and coach connection there.
Hey, I have a realistic quarterback target that I wanted to bring up with you. He got into the portal, relatively local. Jalen Rayner from Arkansas State. What do you think about Jalen Rayner? Because Charles Huff said in his opening presser that he wants a dual threat guy. That guy accounted for 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I think he's been good, even though his teams haven't been great. That could be a realistic target for the Tigers.
Yeah, I really like that, actually. And you know, Charles Huff is familiar with him and has coached against him the last few years in the Sun Belt.
Did he give the old Penny Hardaway handshake after a game, you know?
my favorite thing to do is always to go and look and see what sort of numbers the guy put up against the coach that he's coming to play for. You know, because I think a lot of times, like, you know, you with Penny for sure, like Kendrick Davis had big games against him or P.J. Haggerty or whoever. And so I think that definitely is a factor. Jalen Rayner can play. I think Arkansas State was lucky to have him for as long as they did, you know? So, I don't hate that at all. I think I would put Colton Joseph slightly ahead of Rayner, because he knows.
Oh, of course. No doubt. But I think he'll have more high, you know, power four offers. Like you brought up Florida State.
Yeah, but if you end up with Rayner, that's not a bad outcome by any means.
Yeah. Since you brought up, you know, Southern Miss versus Arkansas State, and how did that quarterback do against the coach? Jalen Rayner had 331 yards, but 4 interceptions. So, I don't know. I don't know. maybe the Southern Miss defense just stood up that day. All right, now on the CFP, we'll make some picks here in a second. But Dan Lanning made a comment, and when I saw this on social media, it said Dan Lanning criticizes the current CFP format. So I was figuring it was going to be some G5 stuff, but Dan did not do that. He said that he feels like the quarterfinal games, the round two games, should be played on campuses. Now, how do you feel about that? I know when we look at the bowl sites, they talk about the local economy, and I get it. They want to make sure that they still have those games played at those neutral sites. But I do agree with that sentiment, because the one thing I would say is for these higher rated teams, the top four seeds, what you get gifted with is, you know, rust instead of rest, or rest and rust, and you don't get a home game. You don't get a home game. And the teams that you're playing in that second round ultimately got a home game on their campus. So, like, how do you feel about Dan Lanning's take?
I don't hate it. Now, I do wonder this. I'm not sure on this. Are you allowed to have official visitors, like from a recruiting standpoint, if you host a college football playoff game? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I think it would be a dead period, I believe.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
But official visits in the late window happen. Like, they happen late, you know, going into, you know, late January, early February. So I don't know how that would work. That's a good question.
I just wonder if there's a recruiting angle there that Dan Lanning is interested in, because he's obviously thinking of it from what would benefit Oregon the most. And now he's the one coach, I guess, who's seen it from both sides. He's seen it from the, hey, we had a week off and then we played at a neutral last year, which did not go well. And now he's seen it from a, hey, we played in the first round at home. It did go pretty well. So he's seen it from both angles. And it doesn't make sense that you don't get a home game. Like, you're honestly kind of being punished financially for earning a bye,
right?
Because you don't get the gate and all the additional revenue that comes with hosting another home game. So from a financial standpoint, he is right. So what would then be the alternative? Would you have the first round games be the bowls, and then the quarterfinals would be
that's an idea.
Home games?
That's an idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. And when we get to 16, it'll be sort of straight seating, and nobody's going to get a bye, from what I understand. And we're going to get to 16 eventually. So we'll see how it all plays out. Now, I also, you know, the other reason that I want as many home games as possible in the playoffs is there's just the difference between college football and the NFL is those the lore you get from each particular school. Playing at home, their culture, their ways, their traditions. And I want to see more of that. We've gotten away from that in college football. I feel like this would be a way to continue to get back to it.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I thought the aerial views and crowd shots and everything at Ole Miss was like, it was the best display of Ole Miss that I think I've ever seen on a national television broadcast. I mean, can you imagine what that's done for their – I know I saw the ratings today. They weren't insane because they put that game on TNT or whatever. But just the PR, the marketing that did for Ole Miss, unbelievable. And I couldn't agree more. Like, it's the on-campus experience that differentiates college football from the NFL, and it's the uniqueness of the stadiums and the historic nature of the pregame traditions and the tailgating and all of that pageantry that – I mean, the more we can lean into that, the better. Now, the other problem is these bowls have a lot of heritage and history, too, that they don't want to relinquish or sacrifice. And, like, it is really hard. Like, these bowl games have, especially the Rose Bowl, like, they have some teeth, and they're really hard to work with. And, I love bowls. I just feel like the way college football is going, like, they're just kind of getting passed by. Like, they're becoming a bit of a – And I'm not saying that this is what I want. It's just happening. Like it's just happening. And you can either sit back and try to pretend that it's not, or you can be proactive. And being proactive to me doesn't necessarily mean getting rid of them. It could mean moving them to week one and making the all the stupid neutral site games that we do week one. Well, if you actually paired them with a bowl game, an organization that has experience running a neutral site game, and put some of those festivities around the bowl and market the tickets the way you would for a bowl, then I think that could be a really successful idea. And plus, you think, like, I think more people would honestly want to travel that time of year than around Christmas, around the holidays when it's cold or whatever. So I don't know. I've always kind of been in favor of that idea. I don't know how practical that would be, but it's just something that could work for both sides. Like these bowl games that have employees and history and a lot of knowledge and experience with how to run a game. Like, we don't just throw that away. Like, maybe we move it to week one. I'm just saying, I think there could be something there.
Hey, for the other bowl games, obviously not the CFP bowl games, there's been an idea posed about not playing them in the normal bowl season, but playing them, you know, at the beginning of, you know, the regular season as an exhibition that wouldn't really count. Mm-hmm. That's a weird idea to me. But, like, obviously we need to think outside the box on how to make bowl season matter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think I like that idea. Or you want to go way outside the box. Why not have the bowls be your spring game, a spring game bowl game? I mean, like, it's a little out there. Like, there might be some issues with that. You know,
but obviously it's a brand new team for a lot of these teams that are playing in bowl games, especially for like a Memphis who lost their coach. It'll be a completely turned over roster. That's not the team that earned that bid to that bowl game.
It would be an exhibition for sure. So maybe that's not the best, but the week one thing I think is brilliant. I think it's brilliant. And I think there could be a lot of benefit to both sides. Cause like I said, these bowl games, they have a lot of experience running neutral site games that, it would make it a lot smoother operation than, let's say, you know, I know they try to, really, really do it right for some of these neutral site games in week one. But they're void of soul and they're void of character and there's not really any, reason for them. Right. But if you make the bowl games, the week one games, then I think that also alleviates the pressure at the end of the schedule to where when your season is over, if you don't make the playoff, like everybody at this point is just kind of ready for it to be over. Unless I'm, you know, there are some programs that are still proud to make a bowl and that's,
sure,
that's great, and I don't want to diminish that, but yeah, I mean, by and large, you know, when the regular season is over in college football now, if you didn't make the playoff, the calendar requires you to move on. It requires you to move on, and it can be awkward to string it out for another 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, now let's make our sports talk radio money and get into the CFP games. We'll go in order. We'll go in order because this is the last time we'll talk until those games are played. I will not be here early next week. It'll be Connor and George. But let's start in order. That Wednesday on New Year's Eve, we'll have Miami and Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. And Ohio State, 9.5-point favorites. I feel like that line's too big, but whenever I think that, and I feel like most people think that, usually it's the right type of line, and Vegas usually knows. But how do you feel about that matchup? And that line, too.
Yeah, I really want to say Miami can cover that. And so here's the deal. We still haven't seen Julian Sayin win a game for Ohio State. Like, we haven't seen him go, like, into a pressure-packed situation in the fourth quarter and come out on the other side victorious. Like, we have not seen that. I think Miami could present that. And so that element alone has me interested in this game. Also, like, Ohio State, not a fantastic running team.
Yeah.
So that's just something to keep an eye on. Like, this could be a low-scoring game that makes a 9.5-point spread very doable for Miami.
Yeah, and what I find tricky about this is Miami's defensive front can get after the passer. We just saw that against A&M. And Reuben Bain had 3 sacks and 4 TFLs and all that. And the one game that Ohio State lost, Julian Sayin was sacked 5 times by Indiana.
Yeah, this is probably outside of Indiana.
I'll say this. I'm not I don't necessarily think Miami's gonna win, but they can. They absolutely can. They are more than talented enough to beat Ohio State.
Well, here's my question. Were there deficiencies in the passing game at Texas A&M purely because of the wind? If so, like, if it was just because of the wind, then maybe they've got a chance. But I do worry, like, the yards that Mark Fletcher picked up on the ground against Texas A&M, is he going to be able to do that against Ohio State?
I don't think so.
Run for 100-plus yards? Right. So if not, then we got to have some passing game. Because, I mean, half of Carson Beck's 100 and whatever passing yards were basically 2-inch flips to Malachi Toney, you know.
Yeah.
The last touchdown was for sure. So, like, that's something to watch. Like, can Carson Beck, can he have a decent game? If so, yeah, Miami can cover 9.5. I don't see it being a super high scoring game.
He's so hot and cold, Carson Beck. When you ask him to throw the ball, air the ball out, you know, 35, 40 times, there's mistakes in there. There just is.
Yeah.
In Ohio State, they can get after the passer in their own right. And I'm used to, you know, Georgia fans know this. Miami fans know this at this point. Although some of them have worked out this year, especially against Notre Dame at the beginning of the year. The back foot pressure bearing down on him, heave straight up in the air. That's a Carson Beck special, usually for a pick.
Yeah. Well, and it depends, right? It's either a pick or C.J. Daniels or Malachi Toney goes up and makes some crazy catch. That was their recipe against Notre Dame. I mean, so can Miami's receivers beat Ohio State's corners in those one-on-one situations when they are blitzing? I mean, yeah, if they can, then sure, Miami can win the game. My level of confidence in that, not mega high, you know, not mega high, I would say.
All right, Orange Bowl, that next day on New Year's Day, Oregon versus Texas Tech. Oregon, 1.5-point favorites. How do you feel just looking at Oregon and what they have been able to do offensively? It's been hot and cold for them as well. And in the big matchup against Indiana, they struggled. But obviously they look good against JMU. We know that. But do you think they can get over on Texas Tech's defense? Because we know Texas Tech's defense has been phenomenal all year.
Yeah, I think, again, just like we were talking about with Ohio State, outside of Indiana for Oregon, this is the best pass rush they will have faced. So Texas Tech is vicious. They're nasty. They get after you. I think they might even be better in terms of their front seven than Miami, or if not, then they're right there. And they're really good in the middle. I mean, Jacob Rodriguez at linebacker is probably one of the more, like, underrated players in the country. That guy is insane. Their entire linebacking core is elite. So, yeah, I'm picking Texas Tech to win this game. I'm picking Texas Tech to win the national title, which is kind of crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I think their defense is that good. And their offense, I don't think, has been asked or required to do a whole lot. But I think if it is, Baron Morton's getting closer to 100% healthy. And, you know, they could maybe surprise some people with what they're able to do offensively, if this situation ever called for it. I mean, they've been in a situation this year. They've basically been like the Big 12's version of 2021 Georgia. where they just obliterated everybody with their defense. And so they've never been in a situation where they've needed the offense to go out and put up 500 yards. So I think we're sleeping on their offense a little bit because they're just riding the coattails of the defense. I don't think that means they're bad. So I'm really, really high on what Texas Tech could do.
Do you – I mean, could this be lower scoring than we think right now because the total is 52.5?
Well, I guess the one sort of interesting dynamic is that it feels like Oregon is still revving up to full capacity offensively. Like, we saw DeCorian Moore come back. Evan Stewart and Gary Bryant, they were non-factors. They went through warm-ups. I don't know how many snaps, if any, they got. But, like, the point being, like, that receiving core for Oregon is just now getting to a point where it's close to healthy. And that's what's actually so insane about Oregon being here in the first place is that they sort of limped through the second half of the season with an unhealthy offense.
Yep.
And, you know, if they can put all those pieces together, then maybe we could get to 52 or whatever. But that does seem awfully high.
Did I see an Evan Stewart tweet, by the way?
What about?
That he may be able to play if they make a run. I don't know about this game, but maybe
well,
if they.
Well, he went through warm-ups before the first game with his pads on. So, I mean, you would think, right? You would think, right? But he hadn't played all year.
Yeah, that's I know. That's it's so bizarre.
Yeah, right. So, like, I don't know. Like, and if he does, what do you expect from him? But I mean, you got DeCorian Moore back. And I think Gary Bryant Jr. is available. Maybe they just didn't want to push the issue against James Madison. But, yeah, I mean, the Evan Stewart thing, I wouldn't put much stock in, like, him giving you anything, you know?
He's a damn good player, though. He really is.
I mean, imagine that, like, just busting that ace out of your sleeve at the quarterfinal stage. You
that
know
would
I mean?
Be wild. Because, honestly, yeah. Down the stretch, Kenyon Sadiq had to do too much. They're tight end.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of built like a receiver, but still, yeah. I mean, he – you know, and that's the impressive thing with Oregon is they won games in a variety of ways. Now, they just didn't play great competition. Like, yeah, the Big Ten is arguably the best conference in college football, but not because of its depth. It's because of – Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, like that's it. And outside of that, it's pretty bleak. And so they're really strong at the top, but Oregon wasn't tested throughout the year. But, I mean, you know, they did win games in different styles of play against some of the old Big Ten West teams. They played more of a ground and pound style. And so, you know, they can adapt for what the situation calls for.
All right, two more. Indiana in 2026, as we get to the first day of 2026, is going to be a 7-point favorite over the mighty Alabama Crimson Tide in the 1-9 matchup in the Rose Bowl. That'll be a really, really fun, cool environment to sort of watch Indiana, see how they handle it. But they've handled everything so far. How do you see it? Alabama... They did a little bit more to prove to us, okay, down the stretch they didn't look that great in SEC play, but, you know, the 34-7 run they had against that Oklahoma defense was pretty impressive.
Yeah, aided at every turn by Oklahoma's incompetence. But yes, it wasn't.
And it was a pick. There was a pick six in there. There's a defensive score. And they didn't run the ball overly well.
Yeah, there was a dropped punt. You know, there was plenty of issues for Oklahoma that helped Alabama. But the thing that sticks out the most was the plays made by Alabama's receivers. I mean, Lottie Brooks and Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton all really each made their share of highlight reel plays that made a huge difference in that game. So my question, Indiana versus Alabama, even without Stephen Daly, who was like the stud defensive end for Indiana, who hurt himself in the postgame celebration, even without him, I do still worry about how much does Indiana disrupt Ty Simpson in the pocket? Because, I mean, Oklahoma has a pretty good pass rush, and Ty Simpson ended up faring okay in that game, but he just looks so uncomfortable in the pocket to me. Mm-hmm. He looks it's so easy to rattle him. And then sometimes he'll be standing back there and looking comfortable and just totally miss the pass rush. So, like, I just wonder. To me, that's a recipe for disaster because you get him throwing off platform. Yeah, you know, he's liable to throw an interception. Or you get him blindsided and hit, he's liable to fumble. I just don't think that he's comfortable enough in the pocket to – to be effective against Indiana. I mean, that's kind of my hang up with Alabama in this game, is because if their passing offense isn't working, what do they have?
Yeah, they got to be able to run the ball, but Indiana's got those Big Ten run fits. They got them Big Ten run fits.
Well, they do, and if you assume that Indiana isn't going to shoot themselves in the foot the way Oklahoma did with special teams and a pick six, then, like, it's got to be Ty Simpson. He's got to win the game for them, and I just don't know that he can do that against that Indiana front.
Ole Miss, Georgia, final one we'll talk about, Sugar Bowl. It'll be the last one of the second round, 6-3. Georgia, 6.5-point favorites. Now, we know Ole Miss, when they played them in the regular season, had a 2-score lead. Georgia was able to pull that one out. Gunnar Stockton was very good in that game. I thought the offense was great. Mike Bobo called a good game. But I look at Georgia's defense. It doesn't feel like it was the same Georgia defense then as it is now.
What do you mean? Like, how so?
In the sense that I thought down the stretch, Georgia started playing a lot more dominant because they had a lot of young players that had to, you know, come along as the season went along.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm hearing is you're taking Georgia minus the 6.5.
I feel like it. Yes, I have Georgia winning it all.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. So wow. Gabe Kuhn noted SEC homer.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Noted. You know
me. Huge SEC guy. All right. I tend to agree that Georgia is positioned to cover here because out of every team in this bracket, they feel like they are trending up the most aggressively right now. You could argue that Oregon is trending in the right direction, but I think Georgia is a better team now, not just defensively, but all around than they have been all year. And is the effort that we saw from Ole Miss against Tulane, is it replicable against a team of Georgia's caliber? That's kind of the big question there, because at some point, like, you got to think, like, everything they've gone through catches up with them. It didn't against Tulane. But, man, they played almost perfectly for 3 quarters against Georgia earlier on this season and still really couldn't get it done at the end. So, to me, what Ole Miss Georgia comes down to is, can Georgia just avoid making 3 turnovers? Can they avoid catastrophic penalties? If so, I think they win and cover here. I think Ole Miss's path has got to be forcing turnovers and converting on some fourth downs. And, you know, because if we're lining up and playing hat to a hat, yeah, I think Georgia covers.
All right, let's do our corny Christmas take, segment here. We rapid fire some Christmas takes before I let you roll, and then I'll let you go enjoy some family time. Best Christmas movie?
Oh, the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Oh, okay. All of them or just the first one? What are we thinking?
The first one in particular. Okay. It's the original Santa Claus that really, really does it for me.
Best Christmas Eve dinner?
Oh, gosh. Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Okay. All right. That's off the beaten path. Just don't cook a turkey. We do that once. That's Thanksgiving. Fake or real tree?
One of the reasons I love the Santa Claus is because in the movie, Tim Allen's character, Scott Calvin, he burns the turkey, and so he ends up taking Charlie to Denny's.
Yep.
And it's just like him and all the other divorced dads with their kids at Denny's, and it's funny.
All right, fake or real tree?
We have a fake tree.
Yeah, it's just easier. It's easier. White or color lights on said tree?
Grew up as a color lights guy. I think for kids, color lights are more fun. But if you want to be classy, you go with the white.
Yes, it looks cleaner with the white, but the color lights, yeah. Myers has enjoyed those. Travel or stay home? Ideally.
Well,
ideally.
Ideally, stay home.
All right, and then final one: NBA or NFL?
Actually, NBA. I'm kind of annoyed
Same.
That the NFL is taking up every open date on the calendar.
I talked with Connor about this yesterday. He was so surprised I picked the NBA. He was so surprised, but those are my formative memories. You know, like, I remember
they claimed it,
and then like the commercials where they're knocking in threes and doing jingle bells and all. I mean, like, it's there's nostalgia to it. Well, David, I'll let you roll, man. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy the family time. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, man. Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. On that note, when we come back, we'll get to a trip around the National Football League.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Shout out Wham! Thank you, George, for that. Now, kind of cooked timing, so a full trip around the NFL is not going to be possible. I'm going to get into my NFL power rankings. I will say this, my honorable mention on the outside, number six, would be the 49ers. Because they continue to play well, 11-4, rolling, maybe. It's a good football team, even though...
They're still so beat up, man.
I know. Nick Bosa out for the year. Fred Warner out for the year. Like, the defense, we'll see. But I have to put respect on their name. They continue to win with all the injuries. So there
and
is
I hate, I hate to do it, but I got to give some respect. Rob Saleh's been scheming that defense up, man. He's had that thing rolling.
Not surprising.
It's not surprising. Shocking, but... Come on, man.
Let's get to number five. Duval, give me the Jacksonville Jaguars, 11-4. Just beat the Denver Broncos and snapped their 11-game win streak. And here's the thing that really gets me going. Trevor Lawrence is playing like we expected him to after getting the big contract and being a number one overall pick. 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions, zero turnovers in the last four games. They're rolling. They look good. Jacoby Myers has been a great addition. Still going to put the New England Patriots in there. I think they're a balanced football team. They have not been playing up to their capability. The youth scares me for playoff purposes,
right.
But I like the Pats at number four. I have them way higher than I should because their defense isn't great. And, you know, in the playoffs, they fall short pretty consistently, but the Chiefs do not exist in the playoffs this year. I'm going to go Buffalo Bills here. Josh Allen's been phenomenal. He has been carrying that team. They need to do something this offseason, though. Brandon Bean, do something. Get
your man
a
receiver.
And just shore up the interior defensive line. Do all of that, please. we're going to have an NFC West takeover. I like the Seahawks, even though they were able to beat the Rams. The weird two-point conversion thing, whatever. But I like the Seattle Seahawks balanced team. I just think that they are the more erratic version because of Sam Darnold's interceptions than my number one team. Los Angeles Rams. It's been that way for the past 5 weeks.
I mean, they are still the cream of the crop. I mean, they are truly are a phenomenal team. My whole thing right now with this is the Seahawks, that defense, for as good as it has been up to this point of the season, they're starting to deal with a couple of those injuries to some pretty key pieces. The big one from either, was it last week or the week before last, with Nick Emmanuel-Worry going out. As soon as I saw the way that he landed on the ground and how his reaction was, I was like, that's a concussion.
Yep, for sure.
Like that Thursday night game, I was like,
That's it. Yep.
Not great.
All right, so in review, 5 Jags, 4 Pats, 3 Bills, 2 Seahawks, 1 Rams, even though the Seahawks beat the Rams last time out. Any problems?
No, I really don't have
any
issues.
Not even the Bills too high?
The Bills may be a touch high.
But I'm acknowledging it.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. As long as you recognize that, hey, that's probably a tad high, Jacksonville might be one of the most impressive teams.
1 by 14. Like, put 34 up on that Broncos defense. It's good stuff.
That one, like, that performance, even though, sure, it may have only been like a 2-touchdown game, at no point did I really feel like Denver really got their footing. They never really had a great opportunity in that game to kind of carve into that lead.
Shout out Liam Cohen. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll come back and wrap up hour number 2 with Small Talk next. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Couple of NFL stories that I would have otherwise had and trip around the National Football League if I wouldn't have cooked the timing. You know, I'm straight up with my listeners. First off, tomorrow, Christmas Day games. One of them is Commanders at home versus the Cowboys. Cowboys desperately need a win. Likely aren't going to make the playoffs, but either way, they desperately need a win. They're still not mathematically eliminated. Did you see who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Washington Commanders?
I did.
That would be 39-year-old, lifetime backup quarterback, the GOAT, Josh Johnson. How about it? And he's been in the UFL, the XFL, the USFL. He's been all around. Has he been in the CFL? I don't know. It's possible. It's possible. He's had a long career playing this game, this sport I love.
I'm checking. I don't see Canada.
What we need.
AAF, I see.
AAF, hey, brethren.
He played for the San Diego Fleet.
The Fleet.
Back in 2018.
For 7 games? 6 games? He's probably still trying to collect his money.
He was
money
an offseason
like
and or practice squad member for them.
Yeah.
He also played for the Sacramento Mountain Lions
of
back
the
in
what?
2012. This was
indoor
the
arena?
This was the original UFL.
Okay. He's old. But he will be starting a game. And what we need to do, truthfully, and I know we don't necessarily remember him until he gets a start, but he needs one of those backup quarterback commercials. The one that Case Keenum and Tyler Huntley got.
Yes.
And you know, when you think
hey, that's
backup,
Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
When you think of backup quarterbacks, what names like come to mind? Historically, I'd say Case Keenum.
Josh McCown. Well, wait. There's a difference, I think, between backup and journeyman. Because, like, to me, Josh McCown started at more than one spot.
Yeah. And Case Keenum, you know, got to an NFC championship game.
Right.
But
like, Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't end up in this conversation.
I would throw him in there. Chase Daniels, a big name.
Chase Daniels, 100%.
But Josh Johnson is a name that always that
at hits. This point.
But I never know where he's playing. He's always on it. I mean,
I think he's played for the most teams of anybody.
He's
ever.
Been everywhere.
14 teams.
He's
I think
been
it is.
Absolutely, positively everywhere.
Yeah.
Is he going to call it a career soon? I mean, damn.
No, that's a football lifer, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Is he going to play till he's 44? We just saw a 44-year-old quarterback throw for 270.
Look, if anyone can do it, it's the GOAT. It's Josh Johnson.
Yeah, by the way, the Phillip Rivers 270-yard game.
He was cooking.
Does that tell you something about today's day and age of quarterbacks and the reads and everything else?
Kind
of does to me.
It It does.
But Phillip Rivers is a borderline Hall of Famer.
Exactly. I feel like it's not like we're comparing him with his peers in terms of like the other surefire Hall of Famers he played with.
Yeah, but I'm ready to watch Josh Johnson take down the Dallas Cowboys. It'll be great. It'll be phenomenal.
I need that to be a Chris Rodriguez game.
All right. I don't want to hear about your fantasy teams. I'm done with it. You beat me. Let's just let it go, all right? Now, final thing.
Yep.
DK Metcalf. How bad?
Crashed out.
I mean, he really doesn't like being called his full government name, does he, DeKalen?
I guess not.
Because, you know, he hit a fan after the game that they beat, the Steelers beat the Lions.
Yep.
And the fan's name is Ryan Kennedy. He let himself be known to the Detroit Free Press. DK tried to appeal his suspension for the rest of the regular season, which is just two games. He failed at that. But then the Lions and the NFL investigated Ryan Kennedy, this fan, to see what happened. Even though we have some video, we don't, like, you know, people on DK Metcalf's team said there was a slur in there and he said some things you should never say to anybody. But for the most part, all the video we saw seemed like he called him DeKalen, his full name. But the Lions posted their code of conduct and put out a statement saying they're not going to do anything to Ryan Kennedy. He's not banned from any stadium. And I think that's probably the right move based on all the details I've gathered.
Yeah.
DK, come on, man. And I hate to say it. Like, these Ole Miss wide receivers.
Divas.
Golly. And they're confrontational, and it's like, dude, just
I'm more so
let
thinking
it go.
Right now.
Just call. He called you DeKalen. It's okay.
I'm also thinking, what's in the water in Pittsburgh? This is now back-to-back star receivers who just start throwing hands.
Well, we knew.
We knew with Pickens, like these.
And we knew
different.
Metcalf's got his.
He's some kind of way, but Pickens, man.
Yeah.
That's back-to-back now.
Yeah, for sure. Now, hour number three is going to start up next, and we'll open it talking some CFP, some college football in general with Colton Denning. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.